Chapter 15. Chugga chugga chugga. Psst. New email from Chip Collins to Julie Taylor. Date February 29, 2020. Subject: chugga chugga chugga. Psst. Hi, Julie. So we haul ass back to the ship while fucking orange lightning bolts are crashing all around us, and everybody gets buckled in, and Bobo presses the big on button, and the engines whir to life, and we're all getting in save the multiverse mode, and it stalls. Psst. Then silence. Oh, for crying out loud, Bobo, not now. He presses the ship's big on button again. It sounds exactly like a car with a bad starter. Chugga 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 psst. Chugga 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 psst. Okay, somebody tell me this is a joke, like the Bobos have a sick but awesome sense of humor. Bobo's pressing the on button like he's in a rush to get on an elevator. I didn't know his little alien finger could press that fast, but shit, man. This thing is not budging. He turns around to Gigi. We flee. Do I want to know what he just said? Gigi unbuckles and heads for the opening gangplank. The paradox lightning bolts are messing with the ship's electrical systems or something. We're going to have to make a run for it. Run? We took a ship here, in case you don't remember. What do you want me to tell you, Dad? Hannah holds up the plumber's wrench. Maybe this can fix it? Pete pats her on the head. That'll get you out of a lot of jams, kiddo, but I don't think this one. Let's go. He unbuckles her and they get up to leave. I hold them all back. Whoa, whoa, guys, are you not listening? That ship covered like 2 million miles. There's no way. We flee. This time Bobo's talking to me. He hands me a pair of goggles, then all of us, big black goggles that instantly remind me of the ones Marie was wearing when she picked us up back a lifetime ago in Paris of 1945. Why do I not like where this is headed? Then he hands me a stick. Great, Bobo. If I was Harry Potter, we could start up a game of Quidditch. What the hell are we supposed to do with a stick? Kung Fu fight our way the 2 million miles home? He doesn't answer, of course, and I get the sense he's just tired of my constant whining, and he drags me down the gangplank. Adjusting his goggles, he taps a wee little button on the side of his stick, and four handles pop out, two near the top and two near the bottom. He straddles it and raises it, and a little glow fires out of the back end, and there it is, Bobo on a stick. Well, there's another first. We flee. Okay, okay. I put on my goggles and fire up my stick. Everyone follows suit, and within a few seconds, all 20 or so of us are sitting there, like a coven of witches from another dimension, hovering on our futuristic brooms, waiting for the starting signal of Witch Race 2 Million. Bobo floats into the pole position, and automatically the rest of our sticks fall into a V formation behind it. And then he raises a finger, yes, the middle one, and Julie, it's literally like being shot out of a cannon. If I didn't feel like any moment I could slip and kill myself, this actually might be cool, like cooler than the coolest motorcycle. But no, I'm holding on for dear life, and nobody told me that this little stick cycle requires a bit of balance. So, of course, instead of staying perfectly balanced on top, I swing around, hanging from this thing underneath, my ass hitting the heads of innumerable Bobos as we rocket past them at breakneck speed. I can imagine them either giving me the finger as I pass or whispering to their friends, "Did you see that? The Great One, Chip, touched me with his greatness." Okay, yeah, it's probably the first one, but shit, man, we just helped bring their dimension back into balance. Although I'm not sure it matters anymore because that paradox is about to make everything moot, and I mean everything. In any case, I started counting how many Bobo heads I hit with my ass while we were still out in the boonies, but now that we're getting closer to town, I'm losing track. I literally am slamming my butt cheeks into more Bobo heads than you can count. Meanwhile, Pete and the girls are hooting and hollering, having the best times of their lives, balanced on top of their sticks like professional stick cycle racers. And Hannah's got the plumber's wrench slung over her shoulder. I swear to God, she looks like something out of a Mad Max movie. And Julie, this whole thing will probably end suddenly and badly for us all. But at least these kids got to do one more cool thing together. Kids, it's funny. Well, not funny, really fucking weird and sad, but you know what I mean. It's funny, these kids, in quotes, are pretty much grown women at this point. And just a few hours ago, they were in diapers, pedaling around the apartment on their big wheels, squealing as they raced each other down the hallway, and invariably knocking into my shins, adding to my ever-growing shin bruise collection. You'd be happy to know their squeals are just as cute now, just as full of joy, even at a time like this. And the way they look at each other really is priceless, reminding me again how precious friendship is. That the very best moments of our lives are those shared with friends, friends who can laugh off our shortcomings and take a chance on adventure with us, and who'll be there standing by with a plumber's wrench when the shit really hits the fan. Naturally, at this exact moment of fond recollection, a bolt of orange lightning strikes my stick and shatters it into a zillion shards in my hands, and I scream, and my momentum keeps me hurtling ass down over bobo heads for another 100 yards at least until the bobos part, and I fall to the ground and continue to slide until my head bumps into something hard. Ouch! Calvin looks down. Disdain.
Well, it took you long enough.
Hey, Tyra, I was a little busy saving the Boboverse. Sorry I'm late. I eye him over, and he looks different. He's slouched over now, and his eyes are glazing over, like he's past his Best Buy date, and I remember his species only lives to 35. Yikes, he looks 55 at least. He's clamping down a metal crate as Pete, the girls, and the rest of the Witch Race 2 Million team are expertly coming to a gentle stop and removing their goggles.
Nice landing, dude. The chip one-shoe Collins thing must have thrown off your balance.
I give him the finger, which, of course, was a bad idea, because somehow Bobo must have let all the other Bobos know about his universal sign of peace, so now they're all giving each other the finger. And yeah, that's when the music starts, and it's dance party time. Shit, Julie, I'll never figure Bobo out, but I gotta give it to him, to all of them, for looking the end literally in the face. I mean, orange bolts of lightning are striking left and right now, and giving it the finger, and celebrating life and balance and free will and destiny, like a page straight out of the Book of Bobo. Bravo, dudes. I give them the slow clap. Calvin hands me a pair of gloves.
Less clappy, more snappy. Here, clamp down the other crate. We don't have time for these shenanigans.
Shenanigans? Where does a Deinonychus learn a word like shenanigans?
Where did you learn to be a paleontologist?
At paleontology school. He sniffs.
That's about the answer I expected.
What's that supposed to mean?
What do you think it's supposed to mean? Well, assuming you can evaluate and form words at my level.
You know what, Tyra? Fuck you, Mr. Smart-Faced Dinosaur Pants. Calvin chuckles.
Your friend Pete is right. You are an idiot.
Wow, he actually went there. Motherfucker. I don't know, Julie. Maybe all the frustration and adrenaline. Oh, and the fact that it's all going to shit as we speak. Maybe it's all getting to me and I just snap and I lunge at Calvin, while Pete and the girls try to hold me back.
Pete's the only one who gets to call me an idiot.
I can't throw a punch, they've got me by the arms, so yeah, I kick him in the crotch. Calvin looks down his snout at me and grins.
Another fun fact, Dr. Chip, the paleontologist. Deinonychi internalize our testicles, like any smart species would. You'd be better off kicking me in the shin. Nice try, though, idiot.
Pete calmly lets go of me and grabs Calvin's hand, bending it back at the wrist sharply, sending him to the ground, wincing in pain.
If you ever call Chip an idiot again, I'll sick my daughter on you.
He glances over at Hannah, who's thumping the plumber's wrench into her palm like a gangster. Calvin shakes himself loose from Pete.
Fine. Listen, we're all stressed to hell, and like I said, we don't have time for this. We're not getting any younger. Let's get moving.
So we get back to work, sort of glaring at each other, preparing these crates for delivery to our home dimension. And while I'm leaning down at the second one, I see out of the corner of my eye, Tesla! And Marie! Alive! I mean, alive, that's great, but not the holy shit, look what miracles the Bobo's work effect I was expecting. They look exactly like they did before, which was old. Really old.
Dad, they did what they could. The paradox is messing with everything. And they're aging rapidly, like all of us. It's a miracle they're still alive.
I look down at my hands, at the wrinkles and the age spots. I peer into Tesla's eyes. He's still there, but barely.
Mr. Chip, I had the strangest dream.
And kind of a rush, Nicola.
In the dream, I went back in time and walked to a park bench and warned you of this catastrophe.
Whoa, Tesla's ghost. Freaky. That's cool, Nicola, but listen, I turn to the team. Everybody, it's time to leave. Let's get this show on the road. And Calvin clutches his chest and keels over. What the fuck? We rush over, the Bobos too, and Pete starts doing chest compressions.
I think he's having a heart attack. Gigi, do the Bobos have defibs?
Yes, something like that. They're on their way.
But Calvin's fading fast, aging before our eyes, way past his expiration date, shriveling up. Marie rushes. As fast as she can, she's literally ancient now, too, and puts her hand on his cheek.
Rest, my little one.
Calvin lifts his head as close to her ear as he can and laughs a little and whispers with his last breath, I loved you. Don't take it personally.